Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we've got an action-packed show for you today. I'll catch you up on the latest and the greatest of the world of the automobile. Well, not any motorsports to say as far as results to talk about because it was Easter weekend last weekend and there was very little, if any, racing. So there's not a lot of results. But we do have IndyCar coming up next week. We have NASCAR in Bristol tonight. Got some updates on Alex Bowman, who's a driver for NASCAR. I've got some automotive news in a segment called Downshift, and I've got a review on the RAV4 and one of Toyota's vehicles, and pretty interesting. It's actually a review from England, so I thought we'd give you a little different flavor. And then we'll be talking about gas prices. They seem to have stabilized a little bit, but we'll see. And, of course, it wouldn't be the car show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on The Car Show. Well, from the website The Drive, it says AI is coming for the car salesman. And let's be real, it really makes perfect sense. Well, an auto dealership software company is pitching an AI-powered kiosk designed to replace car salesmen on the showroom floor. Now, Automotive News says the industry is a little skeptical. But honestly, what would you rather deal with, the average car shark, average salesperson, or a computer? Now, Epcar, a South Korean company that cooks up digital management solutions for car dealers, has named its AI invention Picar Genie. Now, the idea is the customer can talk to this device, and it can ask it product questions and basically everything you would do with a salesman, except finally closing the deal and signing the paperwork. Now, it's not so much like going to McDonald's and ordering a side of McNuggets on one of those giant screen ATMs, but it's kind of the same idea. Renault, BMW, and Volvo are already using this product in South Korea dealerships, and its new customer-facing AI product is still in its infancy. Now, it's been reported that Renault assigns 3 salespeople to its sole showroom, enhanced with the Epcar automation, and compared to 6 for other showrooms and regular dealerships in South Korea. The company is also looking to expand into America, and it's apparently testing its products at least one dealership stateside. Now, a car dealer consultant, Fleming Ford, who is the director of growth strategy at NCM Associates, said that the U.S. dealerships aren't fully ready for fully automated showrooms yet. That showroom is not just where you buy a car. He was quoted in Automotive News. It's where you decide who to trust to help you choose your next car. Now, I have to admit, this is the writer, I have to admit, I haven't been inside a dealership except by being a buyer maybe less than a dozen times. But I'm sorry, the word trustworthy is not the vibe that I've gotten in when I'm talking to commission-motivated salesperson. In fact, every conversation I've ever had with an actively working salesman, it's felt more like I was talking to a chatbot than a regular person. Now, I don't mean to personally disparage the sales folks in the car trade. I get it. You're just trying to get your quotas done and go home like everyone else. But my experience with on-duty salespersons doesn't really make me work a lot of trust, and they run through their script, and they've been sitting on the longest driveway. Now, case in point, I helped my grandfather buy a new Nissan Frontier not too many years ago. He's been driving pickup trucks since 1960s, and he specifically wanted a low-spec, short-cab Frontier, mostly as probably his last truck. Now, we went into the Nissan store where I explained the above, and the salesperson noted that and then typed out an entire script and printed out and handed me a 4-door top-of-the-line Pro 4X. Their biggest truck. We walked out. Days later, we were able to get the rig he wanted from a different dealership, and I literally had to read the sales guy inventory stock number from the store's website to get him off and go to the key locker. Now, yeah, I wouldn't consider myself a fan of AI, but it's not a human job deletion in this situation. But if Epcar can be a catalyst for some change, well, this could really work out. Car dealers have a reputation of resisting change, so it might take a considerable time to AI-ify a car sales situation because of the paperwork involved, loans, insurance, titles, registration, etc. But once the tech is in place, dealer owners are going to be talking about the robot sales associate and the salesperson who never takes a smoke break and can instantly access the whole internet. And critically, and never takes commission. Those attributes are going to be popular with managers no matter what the consumers think of them. So we'll see. You know, AI is sneaking into all sorts of places in our world, and I can tell you this, it wouldn't bother me for the most part if there was an AI opportunity at a car lot. Well, let's talk some NASCAR news. The headline reads, Bowman cleared to return for Bristol. Well, Alex Bowman will return to the NASCAR Cup Series competition this weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway after medically being cleared to get behind the wheel of the number 48 Chevrolet. Now, Bowman missed four races because of a vertigo diagnosis. The symptoms began during the March 1st race at the Circuit de America down in Texas, prompting him to exit the car before the end of the race. Now, the clearance came after Bowman got behind the wheel of a road car earlier this week at 10/10 Motor Club adjacent to the Charlotte Motor Speedway, and then participated in pit stop practices, simulator testing, and a medical evaluation. There are no restrictions on Bowman returning to NASCAR. Quote, I'm grateful for the support I've had from Hendricks Motorsports and my sponsor Ally and my fans and the medical team throughout this process, Bowman said. It's been tough being out of the car, but we wanted to make sure I was 100% ready before returning. It'll feel really good, and I'm excited about getting back on the track with my team and going back racing. Now, the races Bowman missed were Phoenix, Las Vegas, Darlington, and Martinsville. Now, Anthony Alfredo took over the car at Phoenix before Justin Allgaier took over for the other three events. Bowman ran the first three races of the season and is 36th in championship points. But Hendricks Motorsports had previously announced their intention to file a waiver for Bowman to be eligible for the playoffs. That is unknown if that is still the plan. Quote, we're proud of Alex and the way he has handled this situation. Jeff Andrews, who's the president and general manager of Hendricks Motorsports, he's put a lot of work into his recovery, following the medical team's plan step by step. From the outset, our goal was to prioritize his health and have him return when he was fully recovered and medically cleared. We're looking forward to seeing how Alex does in the race car and this weekend. So good news. Alex Bowman has been cleared to drive, and we'll see how he does this weekend down in Bristol. Well, speaking of Bristol, the headline reads, Blaney wins Cup pole at Bristol. Ryan Blaney will lead the NASCAR Cup Series field to the green flag today at Bristol Motor Speedway. Blaney, who has never won at the Tennessee Half Mile, claimed the pole position with a lap of 127.64. Yes, I got a one free good lap going into turn one. It was got to kind of gather yourself and get ready for the second one. I thought our race car was pretty good today. It was nice that we had a good adjustment before qualifying. It's cool to start this weekend at the pole. Now we got to do 500 laps. Now Tyler Reddick, who is the points leader, qualified second. And Chase Briscoe qualified third. Riley Herbst in fourth. And Ty Gibbs will start in fifth. And that race is today. And that will start at noon. And that will be on Fox Television, Fox 10. Well, this is from a website called Car, and it's a United Kingdom website, and they have a review of the Toyota RAV4. So the Toyota RAV4 is one of those cars you don't notice until you realize it's everywhere. It's not just Toyota's global bestseller, but it's the world's best-selling car last year. The sixth-generation version arrives exclusively as a plug-in hybrid in the UK. It has more range, more tech, and more attitude. It also gets the GR Sport version, which has a set of badges plus front-wheel drive phenomenon, which is the PHEV option for the first time. Now, it sounds like a strong package, but the SUV market is far more competitive than when the RAV first burst onto the scene all the way back in 1994. The rivals have gotten better than ever, and RAV wants to stay on top. It needs to have not just reliability to claim this, but it also has to have the whole genre covered. So the question is, should you buy a Toyota RAV4? Well, if you want a calm, efficient, easygoing family SUV that doesn't cut too much into your fuel bill, the RAV4 makes a compelling case. The plug-in system is genuinely useful, not just a tax dodge. It's comfortable, practical, and well-equipped, and fast, too. but it isn't flawless. The interior doesn't feel as plush as some of its rivals. The powertrain can feel a little bit strained when pushed. If you're expecting the excitement and Lexus-type interior sophistication, yeah, you better look elsewhere. If you want a dependable, all-rounded vehicle, well, this is worth serious consideration. All right, here are the pros. Up to 85 miles on the electric range, easy and comfortable driving experience, strong, practical, and usable. Cons? Interior feels a little cheap in places. The CTV transmission makes engine noise under load, and the GR sports badge promises more than it delivers. Well, it's an all-new generation of the RAV4 rather than a facelift, with fresh styling, stiffer structure, and even bigger focus on electrification. Now, the UK range is now plug-in hybrid, only with 85 miles of electric range and faster charging than it had before. There's also a new software platform powering the infotainment systems and the safety systems, plus a redesigned cabin, updated suspension setup, and the GR getting its own chassis tune. Now, visually, the latest RAV4 is square and more assertive, clearly borrowing cues from Toyota's latest models, such as the Prius, the CHR Plus, and the Land Cruiser. If you think family SUV, you want to look meek, well, this don't we want it to look too meek, this could be the one for you. Now, the powertrain is a 2.5-liter hybrid producing 305 horsepower, and that's enough to go from 0 to 60 to 5.8 seconds, or 7.5 in the new 272-horsepower front-wheel drive only version. Electric, 85 miles of the front driver, and is still excelled in 83 in the all-wheel drive, which puts both versions top of its class. Now, the GR Sport Tester has the 50-kilowatt DC charging, meaning that 10 to 80% of the top-up will only take around 30 minutes. The RAV4 sits squarely in the family SUV sweet spot, big enough for a family of four in their luggage, but not so big to become unwieldy. There is good room in the back. There's also a charging cable and a few other knickknacks on the floor. If you want to get a Hyundai Tucson or a Volkswagen Tiguan, they might have a little bit more to offer. From behind the wheel, the RAV4 does exactly what most non-gearhead SUVs want. That's smooth, it's quiet, it's easy to place on the road. The raised driving positions give you a clear view out of the cabin. The controls are intuitive. Rides well even on the supposed GR Sports suspension stiffer setup. Come to a RAV4's top range topper expects to be, say, supersized GR Yaris, you will be disappointed. It's not that focused. It's not a sports SUV. But the reality is that you have a lot of stuff at your fingertips. It's a little lighter than the old stock SUVs. Fun? Yeah. It's not laugh out loud fun, but it's definitely more competent. In everyday driving, especially when the battery is charged, the all-wheel drive RAV feels fairly refined. It'll cruise on electric power on the motorway speeds. It'll glide through town with little fuss. When the battery charge is spent, the low-revving driving feels a little less refined, pushing harder to get that GR chassis tweaks and the CTV gearbox sending power to that suspension. What about the interior? Well, the RAV gets a major upgrade with a 12-inch digital instrument cluster along with a 12-inch center display. The RAV is one of the first brand new cars to get the Toyota Smart Plus Connect system, which is crisp, bright, and responsive, being 40% faster than the previous setup. Where did the RAV score big was on space. One sticks to tradition. There's plenty of room front and back. The 627-liter boot is, and that's the trunk, is much larger and practical. It's a shame that the battery is underneath the floor, forces the rear passenger legs up a little bit too high. A familiar complaint in the EV world. More disappointing is the cabin quality. While the upper surfaces look and feel good enough, the lower areas like the door trim and handles felt noticeably cheap, a surprisingly weak point in an otherwise well-appointed cabin. On the plus side, the physical controls for the key functions are made much easier to use. Now, the RAV starts at $43,845 for the entry level, and that's the front-wheel drive Icon, which gets 18-inch alloy wheels, heated front seats, and a steering wheel. And you also get a power back door and a blind spot monitor. Now, design adds two-tone. The design feature adds two-tone paint, a 20-inch wheels, heated and ventilated seats, wireless phone charger, and this is expected to be a big seller. But it's going to be knocking right about 45,000 pounds, plus a Posh Excel will start at 50,000 pounds, gives you a second phone charger, the JBL Hi-Fi, and all-wheel drive powertrain. Now, if you want to spend for the top of the line, the GR Sport model, this is going to cost you around 52,000 pounds in an all-wheel drive form. The verdict? Well, I like the new RAV4, or at least most of it. Roomy, practical, comfortable, easy to drive. It ticks the key SUV boxes. Its assertive design has plenty of presence. It also has some real credit with its excellent electric range and the all-wheel drive version and its brisk performance. But performance alone isn't going to make a great performance SUV. The GR Sport is nicely rounded, handles well, but it's not a riot to drive fast, especially on those coarse Blair CTV transmission soundtrack that you're experiencing. So, interesting to get a perspective of a United Kingdom car reviewer and also talk about money in pounds, not dollars. But I think overall, if I was going to go from this, I would say he gives it a strong B, but definitely not an A in his book. Well, I'm very excited this time. Next week, I will be in Los Angeles. More specific, I will be in Long Beach for the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach. Very excited because we have a bunch of different styles of race cars. The Indy cars, well, they're the headliner. They're the big show, and that's going to be very, very exciting to see what happens. Also, we have the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship Series. We have the Super Drift Challenge, the Speed Energy Stadium Super Trucks, which is just a blast to watch, as well as the Porsche Carrera Cup. Always fun to watch those cars. And the Historic Sports Car Challenge. And we have sports cars that are back from the 70s and the 80s. So look forward to when I get back from Los Angeles and give you some feedback on the good time I had. It's one of my favorite races to go to, besides Indianapolis, which is my favorite track. Going to the Long Beach Grand Prix is my second favorite IndyCar race of the season. Well, from the pages of the Drive website, this is a segment called The Downshift, and the headline reads, Porsche's awful 2025 has continued well into 2026. Well, good morning and welcome to The Downshift, or TDS for short. Light, tight, right, TDS combs the internet for the latest of automotive news around the globe and gathers in one spot stories summarized into a sentence or two accompanied by a link if you're looking for more information. All right, let's see what we got. Well, Porsche continues to struggle as the global automaker announced that its deliveries fell by 15% globally and 10% in the U.S., as well as 21% in China over the first 3 months of 2026, and that's according to Reuters. Well, the Corvette taillight problem that initially affected 3,300 vehicles and forced a sales stop has now been extended by a factor of 10. Autoblog reports it's now covering 33,000 vehicles, basically every car from his 25 and 26 model year of the examples of the mid-engine supercar. Hyundai is recalling 294,000 vehicles for a faulty seatbelt anchor that could detach per Reuters. The Icon 6 Santa Fe Hybrid and the Genesis G90 have all affected with this recall. Well, General Motors is mulling over the return of the GMC Jimny to take on the lines likeness of the Ford Bronco and the Toyota 4Runner, according to GM Authority. If you want to grasp the how the global strife is energizing the global demand for EVs, take a look at Polestar. Automaker told Reuters that its used sales in Europe increased nearly 50%. In the first quarter of 2026. Hyundai has revealed a pair of EV concepts in China called Earth and Venus. The former chiseled is vaguely looks like an egg-shaped SUV, and the latter is an angular-shaped wedge of a compact sedan. They'll form the basis of the company's China-only line. That's according to Inside EVs. And don't expect to see those at your local Hyundai dealer anytime soon. Well, Formula One isn't racing, but that doesn't mean there's not drama going on. And it says Max Verstappen's engineer to join McLaren. Well, Max Verstappen's race engineer, Gianpiero Lambis, is set to leave Red Bull at the end of the season and become the chief racing officer at McLaren. He's well known for his partnership with Max Verstappen. He's also been Red Bull's head of race engineering and been a long-term target of McLaren Racing's Zak Brown, who's the CEO and wants to bring him to their team. The Racer magazine also understands that he will join McLaren in a role that will feature a number of responsibilities currently carried out by Mr. Stella, who is on the McLaren team currently, and is which will feature him as team principal and instrumental role in his recruitment. It's also understood the addition of him strengthens McLaren's structure. Red Bull has confirmed on Thursday of this week that he will be leaving. Oracle Red Bull Racing confirms that Gianpiero Lambis will be leaving the team in 2028 when his current contract expires. GP is a valued member of the team, which he joined in 2015, and will continue to be head of racing and race engineer for Max Verstappen. Well, McLaren has signed a highly rated engineer and tried to strengthen its positions. Red Bull, this also marks another senior departure following the likenesses of Christian Horner, Adrian Newey, Jonathan Wheatley, and also Will Courtenay have all left Red Bull. So we'll see. This could be an issue for Max Verstappen to stay with this team. They're not doing well in the standings. The car is difficult to drive. He's not happy. So could this be the last season that the multi-time champion will stay with Red Bull, or is he going to go to, let's say, Mercedes next year? Well, time to talk gas prices with our friends at AAA. Right now, the average gas price in the United States is $4.12. Here in Arizona, it's $4.70. New Mexico, $3.99. Colorado, $3.76. Utah, $4.21. Nevada, $4.97. And in California right now, the average gas price is $5.89. Texas, $3.81. Well, Oklahoma, $3.45. All right, let's see what's going on with your gas prices around the state of Arizona. Well, the least expensive gas in the state right now, and it's actually one of them is here in the Metro Phoenix area, the Sam's Club in Tempe at $3.84. Wow, that's cheap. The Love's Travel Stop in Eloy at $3.85. Express Fuels at $3.85. That's also in Eloy. The 76 station in Casa Grande is at $3.87. And the Costco in Gilbert on Arizona Avenue is at $3.89 as well. Those are the least expensive gas in the general vicinity. Oh, Sam's Club in Tucson at $3.89 as well. All right, let's see what's going on here with our gas prices in Metro Phoenix. Well, our friends over at Channel 15 confirmed the Sam's Club at $3.84 in Tempe and the Costco at $3.89. And then when we look around the rest of the valley, Sam's Club, $4 on Bell Road, Costco, $4.03 at Beardsley, 27th Avenue and 79th Avenue, and Sam's Club at $4.25, and that's on 83rd Avenue. So right now it's one of those situations, if you don't have one of those nice little cards to go to Sam's Club and Costco, you're definitely going to be paying more than $4.25 a gallon here in Metro Phoenix. We've reached that time of the show. It's time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, I have a 2018 GMC Canyon with 40,000 easy miles on it. It also has a factory installed remote starter, which I use all the time. I'm wondering if it makes any difference to the car which starting method I use. Is the conventional method easier on the vehicle, or is the remote method just fine, or does it really not matter? And that's from Bradley. It matters not, Bradley. It's all the same to the car. Now, if the car were a sentimental being, you might think, Oh, sure, Bradley. You stay inside your house with 70 degrees, sipping your cocoa with your slippers on while I'm sitting out here in the freezing cold, warming myself up. But that level of spite has not yet been documented in a motor vehicle. Now, when you get behind the wheel, the receiver in the ignition system reads the code on your key fob. And once it verifies that, yes, you have the key, and yes, you're inside, it allows you to press start button, which signals the ignition system to make all the necessary steps to get that engine running, fuel injection, power to the coils, starter motor, etc. Now, when you use the remote start button on your key fob, you're simply tapping into that same system, but you're doing it from a distance. The sequence of buttons that you press on the remote, along with the information that the remote sends to the vehicle, essentially turns the remote into a start button. Now, in the old days, when cars ran rich when they were first started, they kept that to keep them from stalling because they used carburetors, not fuel injection. If you let a car warm up for a long time like that, you could do damage. Aside from polluting the world like crazy and wasting a lot of fuel, you could shorten the life of your catalytic converters by flooding it with unburned gasoline for a long time. The reality is, modern engines are computer controlled. They also, instead of revving at 2,500 RPM for 20 minutes until you stabbed the throttle pedal, now run at 1,300 RPM for 20 seconds and then go into a normal idle speed on their own. So use the remote as much as you want, Bradley. The reality is, no engines or feelings will be hurt in this situation. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Don't have a remote start on my vehicle. One of the guys I work with does, and he uses it all the time in his Toyota Tundra, and he gets the car or the truck in this situation nice and cooled down if it's been a hot afternoon and he's ready to go. Now, when they're talking about previous iterations, at our shop we work on a lot of carbureted cars, and a carbureted car has what's called a choke, and that choke is designed to run the car at a higher RPM. And he was talking about that in the article at 2,500 RPM. Well, it wasn't really 2,500 on it. Most of those cars, it's more like 1,300 or 1,400. But you do actually need to manually disengage the choke assembly. And you do that literally by revving the car really quickly, or the truck. And then that pulls the carburetor out of its choke mode. But that's definitely old school. And the reality is, if you don't use your carbureted car a lot, well, they tend to stick up and get gummy, and then they don't perform very well. And then you come to a shop like ours and go, hey, can you fix my carbureted car? Because it's not running very well. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name's Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday. And you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.